Welcome to this edition of Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Broderson.
Those who trust the Lord will never be destitute. In other words, God is faithful and He'll take care of us. And so let's feed on His faithfulness. Just nourish yourself on the faithfulness of God. Go into the scriptures themselves. And, you know, part of what the Bible is doing for us is it's reminding us of the faithfulness of God.
Today on Back to Basics, Pastor Brian continues his series, Songs of the Saints. Join us as Pastor Brian begins his teaching on Psalm 37, verses 1 through 11, in a message titled, Trusting in the Lord. Now here's Pastor Brian.
The deepest desires, the good desires, the things that are really there because of that work of the Holy Spirit in our lives, delight yourself also in the Lord, and He's going to give you those desires. He's going to bring those things to pass in our lives. So think about that for a moment. What does it look like to delight ourselves in the Lord? Well, again, we've got to take our eyes off of all the negative stuff, and we just need to focus on the Lord. And we need to spend time with Him, and we need to make Him the delight of our lives and the joy of our lives. And as we just sort of once again, maybe in a fresh way for some, we just immerse ourselves once again in the things of God, He is going to give us the desire of our heart. That is His promise to us. And so open your Bible again. Take the time. Dive deep into the Word of the Lord. Open your heart in worship to Him. Recommit yourself to following Him and to serving Him. You know, those are good things to do. Delighting ourselves in Him. I want to delight in the Lord in the sense that, you know, the things of God are the things that are at the top of my priority list. I want to be engaged in those things. I want to be taken up with those things. Delighting in the Lord. Part of that is gathering with the people of God. Now, obviously, we have limitations today, but nevertheless, we can still make it happen if we try. We can do it within the confines of where we find ourselves. But it's a delight. I want to be with the people of God. I want to be encouraged by the saints, by the servants of the Lord. So those are the kinds of things. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. And then he goes on, he says, commit your way to the Lord, trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. He shall bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as the noonday. This is so powerful. Commit your way to the Lord. The idea here, the word commit is actually kind of a phrase in Hebrew, and it means to roll your cares onto the Lord. And of course, the New Testament tells us that as well, right? I think of the words of Peter, cast your cares upon Him because He cares for you. That's the idea here with the word commit. Commit your way to the Lord, trust in Him. We have that for a second time. But then this promise, He shall bring it to pass. He shall bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as the noonday. So, you know, in the situation that David was in, of course, David was being slandered. David was being lied about. He was being pursued. He was being defamed. You know, all of these things were happening with David, and he was righteous, but that was all being veiled under this deception that was revolving around him because of the deceitfulness of his enemies. And again, these things happen in life. These things happen to us. These things have happened to me. And I've had those times in my life where people have lied and people have slandered and people have done these things. And, you know, my natural temptation is to fight back. My natural temptation is to justify myself. My natural temptation is to make sure that everybody knows that these people are deceitful liars and so forth. But the Lord says, commit your way to me. commit your way to me. Roll these problems onto my shoulders and let me carry them for you. And the promise, this beautiful promise, that he will bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as the noonday. There will be a time, in other words, that you will be vindicated. God will vindicate you. You know, I've talked to many women, I'll use women specifically, although there have been occasionally a few men, but I've talked to many who have gone through a terrible divorce process where their spouse, and oftentimes, again, the husband, has slandered them, has lied about them, has basically just brought a completely false picture of who they are. And they have, as a result of that, their reputation has been marred, and they feel that, you know, their whole lives in many ways are now being ruined because of what this person has done to them. And yet God has promised that he will vindicate. And that's what this verse is talking about. He will vindicate us. Your righteousness is going to come forth as the light, your justice as the noonday. So just as the brightness of the noonday, what God is saying is he will vindicate. He will make it clear in his time who's righteous and who's not. He will expose the lies. He will expose all of that deceit and slander and all of those things that have brought about the current situation. He will deal with that. Now, when he will deal with that, we don't know. And sometimes it's not in the time frame that we wish that he would. I remember a season where I went through some of this type of stuff, and you know, you just wondered, Lord, how long is this going to go on? And when are you going to expose what is really happening here? And sometimes you just have to wait. But this is where you have to commit it to the Lord. You have to trust him. You have to recognize that, okay, God knows. He knows everything that's going on. He knows the truth about everything, and he knows the time to vindicate. So that's part of faith. That's part of trusting him. And so we do that. We commit our way to the Lord and then rest in the Lord. And so all of these things, as we think about each one that we've looked at, trusting in the Lord, feeding on his faithfulness, delighting ourselves in him, committing our way to him, this leads us then to rest. Last time, as we looked at Psalm 27, we talked about waiting on the Lord and that posture of just waiting. And this is a similar thing, but it adds that dimension of peace as well, because when you're resting in the Lord, you're at peace. When you're resting in the Lord, you've come to a place where you have just let go, and you're just saying, Lord, I am trusting you to deal with all of these things, and therefore, I'm going to relax. I'm gonna just fall back into your arms like I'm falling back in an easy chair, and I'm just gonna take a nap. I'm just gonna rest here in you. And that, I love that picture of resting in the Lord, because the alternative picture is I'm striving, I'm fighting, I'm burning within, and I'm trying to vindicate myself, and I've got to make sure that this is right, and I got to deal with this oppression here, and I've got to make sure everybody understands that, you know, this person really is an evil person. And all of those things, all of those things really are the result of not trusting God. But when I trust the Lord, when I just say, Lord, I am here, I'm taking this, Lord, I am putting this in your hands. And I'm trusting that you've got it. You're going to take care of it. You've got it covered. And so I'm leaving it with you, and I'm going to go rest. I'm going to just go lay down, and like I said, I'm just going to take a nap. I mean, it doesn't mean take a nap, but it could. I mean, that's the idea behind it. You're resting. You're no longer striving. You're no longer worried. You're no longer filled with anxiety. You know, those kinds of things. Because remember, going back to the first point, don't fret, it only causes harm. This kind of fretting that the psalmist is talking about, and You know, it's interesting that he talks about it only causes harm. Studies, which they didn't have back in David's time, studies in our modern time have shown the effects of stress on the human body and how the kind of stress that can come through these types of things and through trying to deal with it just on our own, how that kind of stress can literally harm you physically. It can create all kinds of problems. It can create problems with your immune system. It can create heart problems and hypertension and, you know, all of these things. There are so many, today, there are so many things that doctors will look at symptoms with people and just conclude that, you know, all of these symptoms are due to stress in your life, pressure in your life. Now, some of the things in our lives we can't get out from under the pressure of, but many things we can get out from them, but we can only get out from under them by putting them in the Lord's hands. And that's what this whole psalm is basically about, just putting it all in God's hands. And, you know, like we said, feeding on his faithfulness, delighting in him, and all of those wonderful things, and then ultimately resting in the Lord. And then as we look at the bigger picture of the psalm, there's promises that he makes to us, and we've touched on them already, but let me just remind you, the wicked shall be cut down like the grass. See, we have to realize that nobody really gets away with anything, even though it seems like they might. But it's only for the person who doesn't understand that God is watching and that God is righteous and that God will judge. If we lose sight of that, then we're going to be really, really frustrated. But we have to remember that the wicked, there is a day of reckoning coming for the wicked. And those who have oppressed and those who have persecuted and those who have, in whatever way, shape, or form, come against the righteous, they have a day of reckoning that awaits them. God is going to deal with that. And so the wicked shall be cut down like the grass. Remember, he shall give you the desires of your heart as you delight yourself in him. And then he will, as he promised, he will vindicate. He will vindicate in his time. Now, as we close, I want to draw our attention to two other verses that we haven't looked at yet, but verses 23 and 25. And listen to this. Well, let me back up. Let me just read verse 16. Verse 16 says, "A little that a righteous man has is better than the riches of many wicked." And so again, here's, you know, the righteous sometimes seems to be the one who gets the short end of the stick on everything. The wicked seem to prosper, as we saw here, the workers of iniquity. You know, the problem is their prosperity. The problem is they never seem to have any problems and all of that. But here is the reminder that even if the righteous just have a little, it's better than the riches of many wicked. For the arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord upholds the righteous. Verse 17. So these are promises that we take to heart. But verse 23 is where I wanted us to go. And listen to what it says here. It says, "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. Though he or she may fall, they shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds them with his hand." So remember this, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Our lives, as we are the people of God, as we are surrendered in our lives to God, our steps are being ordered by the Lord. In other words, he's directing our lives. And so that kind of goes back to what I was saying earlier, right? Dwell in the land. I can't just get up and pack up and head out of the land if God's called me to be here. And I have to remember that he's directing my steps. So my steps have led me to this place, and I want to be in the place where the Lord has led me, and I don't want to go anywhere that he's not leading me. So Lord, if you're not leading me, I'm not going. That should be the mentality, because you order my steps and I want my steps to be ordered by you. And look at this beautiful promise though. Speaking of those whose steps are ordered by the Lord, even though they stumble, that's the idea. Though they fall, they shall not be utterly cast down. You know, as the people of God, we stumble, don't we? We stumble over this stuff. We see the wicked and we see that oppression and we stumble. We don't respond in the way that we really should, do we? And we struggle and we wrestle with the feelings and attitudes and even things maybe we say. And there's times where you just think, oh man, I really blew that. Man, I know the Lord told me to just keep my mouth shut. I know the Lord told me, just trust me, don't say a thing, don't do anything. And I did the opposite. You ever do that? I've done that. And so that's a stumble. I've stumbled. But you know what? The Lord doesn't kick us when we're down and he doesn't leave us down there. He picks us up and he says, okay, yeah, let's keep going. Let's keep moving forward. So secondly, listen to this. And this is such a beautiful promise. Verse 25, David says this, I have been young and now am old. And here it is. Yet I have never seen the righteous forsaken, nor the descendants of the righteous begging for bread. So this is David's observation from life, from the time he was young, and now he's writing this in his older age, and he says, I've never seen the righteous forsaken. And remember, that goes back to the faithfulness of God. Feed on his faithfulness. And remember that and think about your own life and think about the lives of people around you. Have you ever seen the righteous forsaken? I have not seen the righteous forsaken. Now, the righteous have struggled. The righteous have gone through difficulties. The righteous have gone through the flames, but they've not been forsaken. And it's interesting, I'm just thinking, even as I'm saying this, I'm thinking about the martyrs back in the early days of the church who were taken and were, you know, put to the flame or thrown to the wild beast or whatever. Some onlooker might think, well, they've been forsaken. But when you hear the stories and the testimonies, the written testimonies that have come down to us in history, you find that no, they were not forsaken. Even in those moments, there was that, in some cases, that sense of God's peace, his presence with them. But even if they felt forsaken, they weren't forsaken. That's the reality. Because the righteous will not be forsaken. David said, I've never seen it, nor his descendants begging bread. And the idea of begging bread is just that the descendants of the righteous, those who trust the Lord, will never be destitute. In other words, God is faithful and he'll take care of us. And so let's feed on his faithfulness. Just nourish yourself on the faithfulness of God. Go into the scriptures themselves. And, you know, part of what the Bible is doing for us is it's reminding us of the faithfulness of God. It's got the history of all of these men and women, and we go through their lives, and what do we see? We see God is faithful. And then we just can take that right out of the pages of scripture, right into the long history of the church, and we can bring it closer to home with the people around us. And then, of course, we bring it to our own lives and say, yes, Lord, you've been faithful, and I'm feeding on your faithfulness. And so as we do that, as we trust in the Lord, that brings us to that ability to rest in the Lord and to wait patiently for him. Commit your way to the Lord and wait patiently for him, and he will bring it to pass. That's the promise. Now, one final thing as we close. We've been talking about the righteous and the wicked, the good and the bad, the moral, the immoral. What are we talking about here? Who are the righteous and who are the wicked? Well, it's not that we're just talking simply about good people and bad people. Because, of course, the Bible tells us that there are no, those categories don't really exist in one sense. There are not, you know, people who are good people just by nature and compliant and they do the right thing. And then you got the bad people over here who just always do the wrong thing. The Bible puts us all in the category, if you will, of, well, sinners. We're all in the category of sinners. But what's the distinction then? Well, the distinction is that some sinners have recognized their sin and repented by putting their faith in Jesus Christ. And so the righteous are the ones who trust God. The righteous are the ones who have given themselves over to the Lord, where the wicked, on the other hand, are those who have not done so, who have refused to do so, whose life is the evidence that they have never done so. So that's the distinction that's being made. And as we close, I just want to emphasize that, again, it's not about the moral versus the immoral or the good versus the bad. These promises, both of the judgment that's coming, the wicked in great power spreading himself like a native green tree, but being cut down, those are for the people that have rejected the Lord, rejected God by rejecting his son, by rejecting the gospel, the good news that God sent his son into the world to save us. And the righteous are the ones who have received that. The righteous, on one level, there's no difference between the wicked and the righteous because we're all in the category of sinners. But the difference comes in with what we do for Jesus. What we do, excuse me, with Jesus. Do we receive him and receive his righteousness and become righteous through our faith in him? Or do we reject him and remain in our sin and therefore be categorized with the wicked? And we make that decision. And so if you have never received Christ today, and maybe you're a person who, maybe you've actually been an oppressor, well, that is possible. But you know, God can forgive that. And God can wash that away, and God can change your heart, and he can turn you into a person who no longer oppresses others, but a person who serves and loves others. Maybe you've been oppressed, and you didn't know that there was a God who's actually watching all of this, and a God who cares for you and sympathizes with you in the oppression that you've been in and wants to save you and bring you out from that. Well, if that's you, open your heart to Christ today. In either case, just open your heart and say, Jesus, I need you. I am a sinner, and I need you as my Savior. Come into my life. And you say that sincerely, you mean that sincerely, and he will indeed.
For the month of June, Back to Basics Radio is offering a book titled The Surprising Genius of Jesus, What the Gospels Reveal About the Greatest Teacher by Peter J. Williams. Everyone loves a good story. We're captivated by them. The power of a story moves us through the arts. It can keep us on the edge of our seats in entertainment. It can persuade us through marketing, or it can help us grow through education. We live in a world that is shaped by the power of story. Of all the most notable storytellers throughout history, perhaps none were as skilled as Jesus of Nazareth. He combined high levels of knowledge and insight, communication skills, and simplicity to impact his audience. The genius of Jesus was also shown through his ability to communicate through the power of story. In his new book, The Surprising Genius of Jesus, What the Gospels Reveal About the Greatest Teacher, Peter J. Williams will give you wisdom and insight into Jesus' parable of the prodigal son to help you understand what it means to be a disciple of Jesus. After reading this book, you'll come to appreciate the genius and creativity of Jesus' teaching. Discipleship is essential for spiritual growth and following Jesus. So if you want to grow as a follower of Jesus by gleaning fresh insights from the parable of the prodigal son, we encourage you to call us right now at 1-800-733-6443 or visit us online at backtobasicsradio.com to order The Surprising Genius of Jesus, what the Gospels reveal about the greatest teacher by Peter J. Williams. And when you give a gift to Back to Basics, we'll send you this book as our way to say thank you. We do appreciate your generous support of this ministry. We'd also like to remind you that all of our other resources are waiting for you at backtobasicsradio.com or by calling our request line at 1-800-733-6443. That's 1-800-733-6443. Our desire is to encourage you in your daily walk with God. We'll continue next time with more valuable insights from Pastor Brian as we study together the Songs of the Saints. Back to Basics is the preaching and teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California.